Good afternoon, farm news here on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart, along with Randy Cunnan and Megan Turnquist. Today, the USDA released more details on the coronavirus food assistance program direct payments. More details on that after Crop Watch. Crop Watch is presented by O'Toole Seed, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, and Crary Industries. Good field conditions are helping Carlstad, Minnesota farmer Justin Dagan make spring wheat and sugar beet planting progress. Dagan wrapped up sugar beet planting last week. He's still working on spring wheat planting.
Still had some frost areas. The subsoil has lots of moisture in it. The topsoil is a little bit dry at this point, but overall good seed bed for everything that's gone in the ground.
Dagan also grows seed potatoes. Potato planting, he says, is in full swing in the Red River Valley.
We planted our pre-nuclear and Generation 1 seed potatoes last week. This week, we're starting on our Generation 2 mass plants. And otherwise, we're shipping seed potatoes every day out of our storages to areas throughout the Midwest. Potato planting is coming along very nicely.
From east of Crookston to Red Lake Falls, Minnesota, farmers are making decent planting progress. According to Crookston farmer Tim Dufo, the spring wheat seeding is complete, and many farmers are switching to soybeans and planting sugar beets.
A fair bit of the sugar beets have been going in the last 4, 5, 6 days. We've had a little challenging spring. You get a early April snowstorm, that didn't help us, that 9 inches. And then in the month of May, I think we're just under an inch ourselves here. For like wheat seeding, we'd plant for a day or two, and then we'd get a shower, and we were out for a day or two. And then we'd plant for a day or two, and then we'd get another shower. So finally now this weather has changed the end of last week, and the next week looks really good, and I think growers are taking advantage of it.
Dufo hopes to wrap up soybean planting by the end of the week.
Grand Forks, North Dakota farmer Paul Spruill is planting sugar beets and corn this week.
We'll get our sugar beets in, and we'll get the corn in that we're going to plant. We're going to cut back on corn because a lot of ground conditions aren't right. We've actually cut back on our growing degree days on our corn some. We've cut back on that so we can hit that sweet spot, hopefully.
The fall of 2019 is still lingering this spring as Spruill still needs to harvest corn. That won't get done until June.
Farmers in the Britton, South Dakota area continue to struggle with wet field conditions. Dwayne Bossy hopes to get started this week.
In extreme northeast South Dakota, it's still really tough. We got some heavier rains and a lot of cold, just like everyone else did. But you combine that with last fall's saturated soils, we can't get much done here. You go south of Highway 212 from Watertown south, complete opposite, good conditions there. But in my area, like I said, northeast South Dakota, southeast North Dakota, it's a real struggle. I'm going to go out and scratch around some hilltops tomorrow, but then we got a 60% chance of rain on Thursday. So we need to miss these thunderstorms late this week really to get any significant crop in the ground. Otherwise, we're going to end up looking at a lot of corn prevent plant again.
Bussey says with final corn planting dates approaching, prevent plant becomes an option.
Remember last year, December corn rallied about 470 on the board, and we got those acres planted. This year with corn prices where they're at, I don't think farmers are going to be pushed to mud the crop in. You know, if we have to prevent plant the corn, you do that, and we'll switch to beans rather quickly. So look for less acres in northeast South Dakota and for North Dakota.
That's Crop Watch presented by O'Toole Seed, Ag Country, Farm Credit Services, and Crary Industries.
With farmers and ranchers gathered at the White House and agricultural commodities lining the sides of the podium, President Donald Trump made an announcement today regarding agriculture and the food supply.
The American farmer is the backbone of our country, and it's a big business. For this reason, my administration is launching a sweeping new initiative, the Coronavirus Food Assistance Program. Through this effort, we are providing $19 billion to support our nation's agricultural producers, maintain the health of our critical food supply chains, and provide food assistance to American families. $19 billion.
President Trump went on to say his administration worked hard to secure this assistance.
These payments will compensate farmers for losses related to the global pandemic caused by China. We'll be providing billions of dollars for corn, cotton, soybean, and specialty crop farmers, cattle ranchers, just about every category. I think we have almost every category, and if we don't, we're going to add them, all right? If we left something out, but we have a lot of territory, dairy producers, pork producers, and more.
Sign up for the Coronavirus Food Assistance Program will begin after Memorial Day on Tuesday, May 26th. That according to Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue, who says $16 billion in direct payments will be sent to farmers as soon as 1 week after USDA launches the portal. The sign-up window will remain open through August. Secretary Perdue provided comments during this morning's White House briefing.
We're very appreciative at USDA that we don't have to push the rock up the hill. Usually when it comes to President Trump, the rock's coming down the hill. I have to catch it. And we appreciate that very much, so we don't have to sell you on the value of agriculture. But the program that we're announcing today will be a benefit. The $16 million of direct payments to farmers of all sizes and all production there will be very helpful, a real lifeline.
USDA's Farmers to Families Food Box program is also partnering with distributors to purchase $3 billion in fresh produce, dairy, and meat. Purdue says those boxes will then be delivered to Americans in need.
So the food supply chain that begins with these producers representing farmers and ranchers all across the country, ending up in the families' tables that need this food, is a real noble profession. I'm honored to be a part of it, and I'm really particularly honored, President Trump, that you understand just in your heart how valuable our American agricultural sector is, and I thank you.
Full program details, including calculations for eligible commodities, are posted at rrfn.com. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Again, the USDA released the details of the coronavirus food assistance program this morning. Payment limits originally proposed for this coronavirus food assistance program were previously deemed unworkable by many agriculture groups. Final details of the program reveal changes were made to those caps. The payment limit for corporations per entity with one shareholder is $250,000. For entities with two shareholders, it is $500,000 and $750,000 for three shareholders per entity. Producers will receive 80% of the maximum total payment upon arrival. The remaining portion of the payment, not to exceed payment limit, will be paid later as funds become available.
The agriculture industry still reviewing the details of the USDA plan. In response to today's announcement, National Milk Producers Federation President and CEO Jim Mulhern said the direct payments will provide relief to many farmers, and the dairy industry appreciates the department's adjustments to payment limits. National Corn Growers Association welcomed more details, saying the assistance is the first step to getting farmers and customers back on solid footing.
President Trump gave extra attention to the cattle industry while speaking this morning at the White House, saying he is now aware the U.S. is taking in cattle from other countries. The president thinks the administration should look into terminating those trade deals. National Cattlemen's Beef Association president and Florida rancher Marty Smith was one producer in attendance this morning.
You know, America's farmers and ranchers continue to work around the clock to feed the public, to feed all of our nation, feed a large part of the world. What you've done with that and what we're doing with this current program enables us to stay in business and continue to do that. Again, we thank you for that. Together, we get through this and we do beat this. And we keep the highest quality, safest, most sustainable protein sources on the plate of Americans all through this.
First quarter exports results were strong for U.S. pork and beef. Despite recent disruptions to the red meat supply chain, the outlook for 2020 remains strong. U.S. Meat Export Federation President and CEO Dan Hallstrom says pork was up 40% for the quarter and beef up 9%.
This included very good growth on pork and beef variety meat. We saw a shift, obviously, away from food service and more into the retail segment. And, of course, we saw more of a shift onto the online home delivery formats. But it's interesting, while we're still in the midst of the COVID-19 lockdown in most of the U.S., we are seeing a shift out of it in Asia. Markets like Taiwan, Hong Kong, and China have actually been out of the lockdowns now for almost 2 months. Korea and Vietnam have been out of it for a few weeks. And our largest market, Japan, had some relaxations this week on 39 of the 47 prefectures, and the rest of them will be open by the end of May.
Hallstrom says the impacts of COVID-19 may very well show up in the second quarter numbers for beef and pork.
But our outlook for 2020 continues to remain very positive, in part because of improvements in market access. The U.S.-Japan agricultural agreement, we are definitely seeing positive impacts. If it wasn't the largest deal ever made for U.S. beef and pork, it's one of the largest, and we're now on a level playing field vis-a-vis our competition. China-U.S. Phase 1 agreement, same situation. We're seeing benefit already. Dramatic growth on the pork side, fueled by shortages surrounding African swine fever and the domestic herd in China.
The U.S. dairy industry is closely monitoring consumer habits and purchases throughout the COVID-19 pandemic. Dairy Management Incorporated CEO Tom Gallagher reflects on retail milk sales.
Pre-pandemic, milk sales were down 5% at retail. They went up on average for a two-week period 34%, and now they're since that two-week period, so for about the last month or so, they've been at 10%, and they've been up 9%, up 11%, but they're averaging about 10%. Another number historically has gone down 1, 2, 3% a year. During the pandemic buying, it was up 78% sales-wise, and since then, 17%.
Tomorrow, DMI will release an analysis looking at what people are buying and why during the COVID-19 pandemic.
The United States and the United Kingdom will return to the bargaining table mid-June. Egg trade was a part of the trade negotiations this past week and will be part of the ongoing discussions. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The virtual Minnesota FFA convention is underway. State FFA reporter Britton Fugelseth says the convention is going well so far. The first general session begins today at 3:15 and it will be streamed on the Minnesota FFA YouTube page.
At 3 o'clock, there will be Minnesota FFA Live, and then 3:15, we'll listen to our very first session. And then at 4:45, I'll be giving my retiring address. My RA is all about the art of chaos and trying to find the beauty in the messes of life, making the best experiences out of, you know, the messes that seem awful to go through and stuff like that. So I'm very excited.
Coverage of the virtual Minnesota FFA convention is presented by the Minnesota Farmers Union, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Associated Milk Producers Incorporated and its Dinner Bell Creamery, and the Minnesota Farm Bureau.
The Supreme Court will not hear a case regarding the future of the renewable fuel standard. The High Court rejected a petition from the oil industry seeking a change in the RFS. Valero and the American Fuel and Petrochemical Manufacturers wanted the EPA to extend the point of obligation from refineries and imports to blenders. The lower court ruling to dismiss this lawsuit remains in place.
Foremost Farms USA plans to close its Chilton, Wisconsin plant in July. The sudden drop in food service demand due to the coronavirus pandemic is cited as the reason for the closure. This plant produces Italian cheeses.
Taking a look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon. July Minneapolis wheat up 4 at 5.08 and 3 quarters. July Chicago wheat up 2 at 4.99. July Kansas City wheat down 4.5 at 4.41 and 3 quarters. July corn up 1 and a quarter at 3.22. December corn up 1.5 at 3.34 and a quarter. July beans down 2.5 at 8.42 and a half. November beans down 2.5 at 8.50 and a quarter. In livestock markets, June live cattle up 17 cents at 98.90, August up 27 cents. May feeder cattle up 82 cents at 127.42, August down 45 cents. June lean hogs down 80 cents at 56.85, July down $1.22. Taking a quick look at the farm calendar, coming up this week, the Minnesota Virtual FFA Convention continues, and we will keep bringing you coverage here on the Red River Farm Network. Tomorrow, there will be a COVID-19 and its implications to Global Aquaculture online webinar. More details found at rrfn.com. This is the Red River Farm Network.